Greetings to each one of you in Jesus' precious name. It's been a tremendous blessing to be here this morning. I've enjoyed the time here together, the Sunday school time. I can see that going through that book is very interesting as you go through that and look into that and try to understand and realize again who we are. Looking at that lesson this morning, just reminded me again is how settled and how sure are we of who we are as Anabaptists? Where do we stand? How sure are we in that? This morning I'm blessed to be here. I was also blessed by that testimony, the grace and mercy of God in our lives. Were not for that, where would we be? This morning, the topic that was assigned to me is on forgiveness. And I have really saw God working through this as I looked into God's word again and realizing the importance of forgiveness and how it affects us individually. Forgiveness is a very, very real part of the Christian life. I have three questions I'd like to address this morning as we go through this. First question is forgiveness an option for the Christian? Second question is, should we ask for forgiveness or should we expect those who offend us to ask for forgiveness? And if we do, do we wait until asked? And then the third question is, does unforgiveness affect our spiritual life and how we respond to circumstances in life? Reference I'd like to was given to me was in Matthew 6, verses 12 through 16, and then also Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, and then Galatians 6, verse 1. When you think of forgiveness, is it a daily process? Is it a daily thing you have to work with? I find that there are times when, it doesn't really bother you. Then other times there's things that come up that you have to, again, let it go. I looked up the word forgive, and it says to cease to feel resentment against an offender, pardon. And then pardon is to allow an offense to pass without punishment. And along with that is to grant relief from payment of, forgive a debt. So when you think of forgiveness, when you think of forgiving someone, it's to cease to feel resentment. How many times do we harbor and just hold on to those feelings, those hurts that have come our way? How often do we just kind of baby them and think about them? That's not forgiveness. It's holding on to the resentment. It's not letting go. And like it says there, for pardon, to pass without punishment. So often we feel like they deserve to be punished for what they've done. I find in my own life, so many times when I feel resentment or unforgiveness, it seems that it's things that people have said. And how many times do they really mean what they say? Or is it often taken in a wrong way? I know while we served in Belize, there was one thing that I understood that was brought to my attention. You can speak the same language, but still not understand each other. Things can be said, and you think you know what they mean, but that's not really what they meant. So for forgiveness, it is a choice. We need to let go. We need to allow God to work in us. Going to Matthew chapter 6, looking at the few verses here, breaking in the Lord's Prayer here, it says, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the question, is forgiveness a choice for the Christian? Or maybe I should say, as a Christian, or can we call ourselves Christian if we don't forgive? Jesus makes it very clear. It says, for if ye forgive, in verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's very simple. It's very clear. It's very clear that we need to forgive. There's not an option. As a Christian, if we call ourselves Christian, forgiveness has to be a part of our life. Because we know if our Father does not forgive us, then we will not experience forgiveness either. In Mark 11, verses 25 and 26, just kind of bringing out the same thought, it says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. It's clear. We need to forgive. Also in Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, it says there, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. It's a command. And also Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Because Christ was willing to give of himself, he was willing to live among us, he was willing to die, he was willing to give himself so that we can have life, so that we can experience forgiveness. That is the same way we need to forgive, just as Christ did. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Just as Christ forgave us, we need to forgive. And, you know, we have experienced that freedom, the freedom of having Christ forgive us. That's the same thing that we need to do to our brother. We need to release them. We need to forgive them. We need to let it go. Also, Matthew 7:12 says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And again, bringing out the fact that if we want to be forgiven, we need to treat each other the same way. Then going to Matthew 18. In verses 21 through verse 35. Here Peter is asking Jesus, how oft shall I forgive my brother? It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I sin unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he had laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had been had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is an account that we've all read many times, I'm sure, or we're very familiar with. And Peter was just asking the Lord, how often do we forgive? How often do we have to forgive those who have offended us, those who have hurt us? He just uses this example of this servant who owed his Lord a large sum. It says 10,000 talents. Looking into that, there's different numbers given, but I believe that it was a debt that no one could ever have paid. This servant could have never paid it of himself. And he begged for mercy, begged for forgiveness. And the Lord of that servant had compassion and forgave him the debt. When we think of the word forgive or forgave, again, he ceased to feel resentment against an offender. He forgave the debt. He released him of that responsibility, I believe. He no longer had that debt. He was free from that debt. But the same servant went out and went after his fellow servant who owed him a very, very small amount in comparison. We can think of that as our spiritual lives, you know, as sinners. We have a debt that we could never pay. We had a debt that it was much, much too large for us. We were never going to be able to pay that. And Jesus is like this Lord. He had patience. He had compassion. He's willing to forgive. As we confess our need, as we confess our inability to pay the debt, we surrender to Jesus, and he forgives us that debt. But then it brings the example of us. As we turn around and hold our brother, hold those who have offended us, will not forgive them. Jesus says in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father also do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Backing up to verse 34, it says, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You know, that's what's going to happen to us as if we do not forgive. So is forgiveness an option? It is an option. It is a choice you can make. You can choose not to forgive. But do you want the consequences that go with unforgiveness? Do you want to experience the Lord saying that he needs to be delivered to the tormentors? In Proverbs 21, verse 13, it talks about being merciful. Says there, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall also shall cry himself, but not be heard. Making it clear that if we will not forgive, we will not experience forgiveness. There was a thought here given. It says, the Lord not only had compassion, he forgave him the debt. When we forgive someone, we release them. In other words, when we forgive, we release them of that debt. And this is a picture of Christ. He also is moved with compassion for us. For our debt is more than we could pay. He forgave us. Now the second question. Should we ask for forgiveness, or should we expect those who offend us to ask for forgiveness? And along with that, if we do, if that's what we expect, do we wait to forgive until ask? Maybe somewhat of a play on words, but I believe, I wasn't able to find it, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that anywhere does Jesus say that we should expect someone to ask for forgiveness. In Luke 3, in Luke 17 there, it says there, he repented and you're to forgive them of their debt. So I don't believe that it's necessary. I mean, it's neither here nor there necessarily with that. But I believe also we do need to acknowledge our wrong. We do need to acknowledge when we have done wrong, when we're aware of that. But it's not so much as to whether they ask for forgiveness as to whether we forgive. Then the question is, if that's what we expect, if that's what we think should happen, do we wait to forgive until ask? Do you wait to forgive until someone asks you to forgive them? Or until they repent, until they come to you and acknowledge their wrong, do you wait to forgive them until they do that? The answer is no. We may not wait till that happens, because in some situations it would never happen. We need to forgive regardless of when and how that takes place. It's not a matter of waiting, it's a matter of giving it up. Because, yeah, like I said, if we wait till if we're going to wait on that, it probably will never happen in some situations. So the point is, we need to give up and surrender and not let the things that come our way, not let the things that we have been hurt by. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, there's things that we may be offended by, whereas the individual who offended us, who we think offended us, really doesn't realize it happened. So therefore, how is he going to ask for forgiveness if he doesn't even know he hurt you? So let's give it up. And again, like I said, if it's a matter of asking or not, it is not really the point. It's a point of giving it up. So number three then, does unforgiveness affect our spiritual life and how we respond to circumstances in life? Joseph is a man of, is an example that I like to look at this morning. I think Joseph is probably one of my favorite characters, and just the different aspects of life that we can learn from him and his responses. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 37, and we'll be looking at a number of the accounts here with Joseph. This is in relation to the question as to whether unforgiveness affects our spiritual life. In Genesis chapter 37, we have talking about Joseph being the favored son here. And in verse 3 it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." And verse 4 it says, "When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." I know that's kind of bringing out the fact that, you know, it wasn't really Joseph's fault. He couldn't help that his father loved him more than his other brethren. But at the same time, the response of the brethren is where it becomes wrong. I know Joseph may have somewhat, I don't know if he kind of fed the fire by telling him some of the stuff that took place here, the dreams he had. But at the same time, it's, again, the response that we have that makes the difference, or the response that comes from that. You know, through this, Joseph's brethren, they hated him and couldn't speak peaceably unto them. And as that anger grew and as that bitterness grew, it got to the point where it affected their ability to even function properly toward Joseph. They hated him, and they couldn't see clearly what God was wanting to bring about in their lives. And it continued on here until in chapter 39 or 38. There, end of 38, they sold him into Egypt, But in 39, then we have Joseph here in Egypt with as a servant of Potiphar, working for Potiphar, and again he was there, but God was with him. And I believe that, you know, Joseph here already had forgiven his brethren for what had happened. He already left go of that because he could see, in verse 3 it says, the Lord was with him, and all that he did, he was made to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And I guess what I'm trying to bring out is the fact that if we have unforgiveness in our lives, we can't see or can't focus on God and what God has for him. It doesn't necessarily mention that here, but Joseph sought to serve the Lord regardless of what the circumstances he was in. And in verse 5, then again, it says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And he continued to work and to minister where he was, regardless of the circumstances that brought him there. He was willing to let go and allow God to work with him, work in him and through him. And then we have in chapter 41, we have the coming here, the dream that Pharaoh had. And I like, again, his response in verse... It's in verse 16. It says, here Pharaoh says unto him that I have dreamed a dream. In verse 15, there's none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph recognized God in all circumstances of life, and he was able to give Pharaoh an answer of peace because of what God working in his life. And as the story continues here, Joseph, you know, became a important man, so to speak, and he was working where God had called him. And again, I believe as he left go of the things that happened in his past, he was able to see and follow God, see God working through the situations, although he didn't really know what the outcome would be, but he was willing to let God work wherever he puts him. Then going to chapter 45, find again the way God, Joseph, again, it reveals Joseph's willingness to let go. And seeing God working through the situations he was in and letting God work. In chapter 45, verse 1 through verse 15, then Joseph could not refrain himself from all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood a man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Stopping right there, just again, when there's things in our lives that are not right, when there's unforgiveness in our life, when we have done things wrong, when we have hurt others, when we come in presence of that, we're troubled at that. Verse 4 says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. When we forgive, we can say like Joseph did, Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He sees God working in it. He sees God working through the situation that he's in. And for Joseph to say this after years of being a slave, being in Egypt there and having no contact with his family, he could still see God working. He saw God work at work. And verse 8 says, So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house. He saw God working through the situation. As we forgive, we can focus on the right things. Then we see again in chapter 50, it seems that the brethren could just not quite get hold of the fact that Joseph forgave them for what they did. In chapter 50, in verse 15, it says, And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept with when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. They couldn't hardly grasp the fact that Joseph was willing to forgive. They again brought it up, you know, forgive the trespass of thy servants. And Joseph's response, he wept when they spake unto him. It says, am I in the place of God? You know, it's, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. So we can see that as we forgive, God can work wonders in our lives. Is it important to forgive? I believe we all know that it is. Jesus also showed forgiveness on the cross, and also there in Acts 7, where Stephen was stoned, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, those men didn't ask for forgiveness, but Stephen was extending that forgiveness to them. He was willing to let go of that. So as we go through life, as we consider life, you know, there will be hurts, there will be things that come up, but let's let go. Then we have the reference in Galatians 6, verse 1 says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Again, we, as God's people, as we deal with each other, as we deal with each other in the church, and as we, as there's individuals who are taking their fault, we need to be careful to restore them and to work with them and to forgive them. We need to show the same love that Christ had for us. Again, going back to the forgiveness that we can experience through Christ, the same forgiveness needs to be extended to those around us. Not overlooking sin, but forgiving and working with it. 1 Peter 5, going to 1 Peter 5, looking at just a few verses there, and then a few thoughts yet here in closing. First Peter 5, verse 7 through verse 10 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." As we rest in God, as we trust him to guide us, we need to be careful, we need to be sober, we need to be diligent. Just a thought here that I jotted down as I was studying. It says, forgiveness is freedom. We no longer carry a burden or resentment. We are free. When we experience God's forgiveness, we have freedom. The same when we forgive others, it frees us. Unforgiveness is bondage. We become bitter, and bitterness affects our ability to function, and it also affects our physical health. Last fall, Marion Miller had meetings in our church, and he made a statement. He says, "When we build walls, unforgiveness, we are only constructing our own prison. So we're only hurting ourselves." And then I have the book Meditations on the Heart of God, written by Alfredo Mullett, and he had a quote in there, "The dangers of bitterness. There are many hurtful or disappointing situations in life caused by people around us, making it tempting to want to fertilize the root of bitterness. But we dare not allow ourselves even the smallest pleasure of animosity or revenge. Instead, we must nurture a Christ-like disposition of forgiveness. Otherwise, we will remain a prisoner in our own gloomy dungeon of resentment." It only destroys us when we hang on to those things. Another quote, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you." As we forgive, we set ourselves free. One last quote, "If someone has offended you, insulted you, or disappointed you, let it go. If you are remembering all the ways you have been hurt or forgotten, let it go." What will benefit us to hang on to those things? What will benefit to hold on to unforgiveness? Just as Jesus did when he was hurt, when he was ridiculed, and others, they let it go. Let's let go of those things that are hindering us from freedom, from experiencing what Christ wants for us. With these thoughts, let's kneel for prayer.